There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Thinking Sideways is not supported by a desert native in hip waders. Instead, it's supported by the generous donations of our listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinkingsideways to learn more. And thanks.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a reply.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Well, hi there. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by...
Steve.
And this week, we're going to be talking about the disappearance of Devon. What happened to Devon from Thinking Sideways? She was supposed to be at the recording studios at 7 p.m. It's 7:05 and she's not here. All right, theories. She ran away to start a new life. Can you get that?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry I'm late.
Oh.
I was tweeting. Oh. Sorry. Okay, sorry. Okay. Hey.
Well, time to find a new mystery. Hang on a second while I go to the Google. And please enjoy this really restful elevator music. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by...
Devon.
And...
Steve.
Yeah. This week we're going to talk about a few mysteries surrounding Queen Elizabeth I of England. Some of you guys may have heard of her.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
I guess.
These are a couple of different mysteries that have been suggested to us by so many people that I'm not going to give you guys a shout out except to say thanks for the suggestions.
Well, there's a lot of mysteries around her.
Yeah.
There are some mysteries around her. One of the first mysteries that she was involved in was the misplaced colony of Roanoke.
Misplaced.
Also known as a colony we can't seem to put our hands on at the moment.
It's the best
The colony
name
of
ever.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly.
Please move along.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't mind the alien burn marks on the ground or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But she was involved in that because she wanted to get England a toehold in the New World. All the Europeans were doing that. It was all the rage back in those days.
Still is.
Yeah. She granted a charter to Sir Walter Raleigh to found a settlement in what would become Virginia, which was named after Elizabeth because she was the Virgin Queen. Yeah.
She was.
Yeah, other nicknames.
Apparently.
Yeah, Good Queen Bess, and I think she had one or two other nicknames.
She had a lot of them.
Yeah, she did. And here's the... But another mystery about her is people have been wondering for a long, long time, they still are today, is did she ever have a child?
And that is one of them.
That's a big one, yeah.
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 And I'm just going to jump in here real quick and say that historic mysteries like this, it will probably not surprise any of our listeners, bother me a little bit. I am not super stoked on the idea of the public fascination of, was this woman a virgin? Was she not? Did she have a child? Did she not? Though I understand in this one circumstance that it is of historic significance and totally worth an episode. So if I seem a little cranky, that's why. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the is it
as so box said, away.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, expect a little crankiness there. You know, it is kind of something to ponder because she said she was. She said she was going to remain unmarried and a virgin and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But
she made a big deal out of it.
Yeah, the royal courts back in those days were kind of libidinous places.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hanky-panky going on. So
yeah,
how did she manage to pull that one off?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with the stuff that I've read about the things that went on in court and all of the political dealings. I know I've probably said this before and I'll probably say it again. I don't even understand how the royalty managed to exist with all of the games they were playing.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, I don't understand how the political system in our own country, which is pretty similar, has managed to get along as long as it has.
Yeah. So luckily the mystery that we're talking about is, did Elizabeth have a kid? Not, was she a virgin? Which is one that people have suggested, and I have outright refused every single time. Because I don't care to talk about that. But we are going to talk about today, right? Did she have a kid or not?
We're going to talk about whether she had a kid or not.
So let's get to it.
Let's solve this. Yeah. But before I get into the mystery thing, I think I should give everybody a little background on Elizabeth I.
Yeah, in case you haven't heard of her.
Yeah, that's right. A little history lesson here. It'll be brief. Don't worry. Don't go away.
Well, I watched The Tudors, so I know all of this.
Oh, okay. Elizabeth was born...
It's the same as Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Real history. It's all based documentary.
Yeah, with real dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, England always had that giant ice wall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so she was born 1533, the daughter of Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, who was his second wife.
Henry VIII, I am.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have all heard of Henry VIII and his six wives. But if you haven't, here's a quick rundown. Henry was the second monarch in the Tudor line, and he and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, had a daughter who would later become Queen Mary I. And then Henry got impatient with Catherine because she had actually six children, but only one of them survived. Three of them were stillborn, and two of them died shortly after childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hadn't given him a son, and he wanted a royal son.
Which was really strangely valued.
It was, very much at the time, yeah. So he decided to move on, and so he found this new girl, Anne Boleyn, and married her. There's one hitch, though. He needed to persuade the Pope to annul his marriage to Catherine, and the Pope said no.
Understandably, the church does
the
not
Catholic
condone
church, yeah.
does not condone divorce.
Well,
yeah,
they're a little more lenient on it these days, but at that time,
they were like,
it was seriously a rule.
I love the fact that the Church of England was created because a king was like, you know what? I don't really like my wife anymore.
I know. That's the whole reason for it.
I really want to bang this more attractive younger chick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Steve is like laughing. He's like about to fall off his chair over here. But no, I mean, like that's basically what Henry said was, I'm not interested in my wife anymore. I'm interested in someone else now.
Yeah,
so
she's younger.
He created an entire new church and religion, basically, because he wanted to do something else.
Yeah. There's been quite a few figures in history who have done very similar things.
I know. Though. It's pretty interesting.
Anyway, that's the story.
After
marrying Anne Boleyn, she gave birth to Elizabeth. And then 2.5 years after Elizabeth was born, apparently Henry was getting a little tired and was ready to move on again.
He wanted somebody younger.
Yeah, or maybe Anne was just too naggy or something. But
I'm sure that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Henry accused her of adultery and had her put to death. Another character I should mention here is Catherine Ashley. She was appointed as Elizabeth's governess when she was 4 years old. And that's when Elizabeth was four. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a prestigious title, right?
Yeah.
Like, should be clear. It was
not just,
of a princess,
Yeah, it's a serious thing. I mean, she was well-educated, Kat, that was. And she taught Elizabeth astronomy, geography, history, mathematics, French, Italian, Spanish, Flemish.
I was actually really surprised when I was reading that I never realized that Elizabeth I had such a knack for languages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She evidently was really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't know why that caught me so off guard, but
when
it did.
You start learning languages at four.
That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that.
That makes a big difference, I think. Yeah.
I know I've mentioned this before, but I have a fair number of friends who are very fluent in multiple languages. And all of them, even if they started learning the languages that they're now fluent in later in life, they all had, you know, bilingual parents, basically. So they were raised with that knack. And I think it's something that a lot of kids learn early on. So, you know, if she started learning other languages at 4, she was going to be good at them.
Elizabeth was pretty smart. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really smart.
Yeah.
But Kat was important.
Yeah. Kat was very important.
Well, the person who raises
figure.
You.
Yeah.
Is
she
really
was
important.
Essentially her mother.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because as you know, Henry, well, her stepmothers came and went fairly rapidly.
Quite a few of them.
As it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but frankly, even if, you know, a stepmother managed to stay for even 10, 15 years, it doesn't really matter because the queen at that time isn't really that involved in raising their kid.
No.
That's just how it was then.
Not really that much, yeah. So anyway, but the reason I brought up Kat is just that she plays a role in some of these stories.
Yeah, you know? She does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Henry VIII for a little bit. His next wife, Jane Seymour, finally produced a male heir, Edward. He became King Edward VI after Henry died. He was 9. He immediately decreed that all candy in England belonged to him.
I would do the same thing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Even now, maybe I might be like, you know what? English candy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it pretty well.
You know.
And unfortunately for Edward, he only ruled until he was 16 when he died of diabetes.
Did he actually die of diabetes?
No.
What did he die of?
You know, I don't remember.
And he did not decree that all candy was his.
No, actually he didn't. You
know? No, he was always very sickly.
Yeah.
And he was he had something with his lungs. He was like pneumonia. He seemed to take on things like that or get that all the time. He had breathing issues. He had a lot of fluid in his lungs I remember he got sick and it was winter time, and then he started getting better. And then he started getting ill again in the summer when it should have been warm and his lungs should have dried out. And I don't, you know, it may be determined at this point exactly what it was that he suffered from, but I don't remember what it was. But I know it was basically pneumonia.
Mm-hmm, probably. Either that or his half-sister Mary poisoned him.
Well.
Because, well, guess who got the throne next?
Mary
the first, yeah.
Not Mary, well, Queen of Scots.
Well, not directly, no, not immediately.
Yeah.
Mary didn't get it
there
immediately.
There was a little interim period. There,
of 9 days.
Yeah, there was a little interim period. There was some contention. Well, first of all, there was a little contention about Mary the first, whether she was legitimate or not, because the marriage had been annulled to her mother and all that stuff. But it was eventually all sorted out, and Mary got the throne in 1553. And she ruled for 5 years until 1558 when she died. And during this time, there were some plots against Mary that may or may not have involved Elizabeth. I know that these plots that wanted to topple her and put Elizabeth on the throne, but whether Elizabeth actually participated in these is kind of an open question. It's thought that
Mary wasn't
not.
Popular.
No, Mary wasn't that popular.
Pretty much nobody seemed to have really liked her.
And Elizabeth was younger and prettier, and people just seemed to like her better, you know?
Frankly, it did seem that people didn't like Mary's mother very much.
Mm-hmm.
The people seemed to kind of like, and at least in my reading, I'm not British, so I don't know, but...
I'm definitely not fully versed in this time frame, so.
Yeah, but it did seem to me that people, like, Anne Boleyn was like the people's wife
the
of
people's
Henry.
Choice.
You know, people really liked her.
Like Princess
For whatever
Di.
Reason or not. Yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. And so they liked Elizabeth more than they really liked any of the other kids. Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like to me, at least.
Yeah, that's fair. Back to the plots against Mary. Elizabeth spent some time in the Tower of London, I think around a year. And there was actually a question at the time of whether she might get executed or not for her maybe participation in these plots. But again, as I said, there really wasn't much evidence that she was actually involved in any of them. And I'm thinking Mary probably was reluctant to execute Elizabeth because they'd actually been kind of close in childhood.
Yeah.
Even though they were only half sisters, there was kind of a schism between them when she went to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
But things they sort of got a lot colder towards one another.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were sisters. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, half sisters or sisters, they were raised together.
Power.
And how old were they at that point, too? I mean,
and Mary was quite a bit older than, and she was like at least seven years old.
Okay.
Maybe 10 years.
But how old was Elizabeth? She wasn't that much older, was she?
Yeah, they're younger, you mean?
No, I'm sorry, than Edward.
Yeah, she was, I think about the time that Mary took the throne, I think Elizabeth was 19 or 20.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so, not that much older.
Maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, at the most, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, one last little bit of history. When Elizabeth ascended to the throne, many English Catholics didn't accept her as legitimate.
Right.
Right, because Henry's marriage to Anne Boleyn was illegitimate in their eyes. And so...
She'd have been a bastard.
She was, she was a bastard, and therefore not a legitimate heir to the throne. Mm-hmm. At this time, it's believed that Henry VIII had actually had numerous flings and affairs, and that he actually had male children.
Yeah.
He did.
But they couldn't take the throne.
Right, because they were illegitimate.
Yeah.
He seemed to really hold to the standard of, I can only bring into the fold and give power to the ones who were officially recognized by marriage. Like, it was, he knew, everybody knew that he had these kids. It wasn't a secret, but he
also
didn't.
He was the Robert Baratheon of.
But he did not try to also force them in and say, I have a boy. This is my boy. This is going to be the king. Except the boy. He's a king. Like, he didn't do that at all.
No.
The tenets were in place.
Even Henry pushed the rules and he redefined them in a lot of ways, but he knew there was only so far he could go.
I think it's hard to say, you know, I slept with this woman who sleeps with a lot of people one time.
There's
and
that too.
Now she suddenly has a son and he's totally going to be the next king of England. You're welcome, everyone. I have no way to know if he's actually my son or not. But
that's another good point. Hey. You want to make absolutely sure he actually is your son.
Not that easy at that time.
No.
Well,
back to Elizabeth, though.
keep steering you off course. Sorry.
You guys totally are. But you mentioned Mary, Queen of Scots. Mm-hmm. Mary, Queen of Scots felt that she did have a better claim to the throne than Elizabeth.
Right, because it was legitimate, though distant.
Yeah,
right?
Though more distant relation to Henry VIII, but all legitimate and everything. Mm-hmm. But she never got any traction on that claim. And eventually, she was overthrown in Scotland and wound up taking refuge in England, threw herself on Elizabeth's mercy, and... But couldn't refrain from mucking around in a few little plots against Elizabeth. And so in February 1587, Elizabeth had her beheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although she said at the time that she didn't really mean for her to be beheaded.
What?
Yeah.
Explain how does this go down?
Yeah, she had signed Mary's death warrant, but she told her secretary not to send it off. But apparently certain other important persons either misunderstood the meeting of at least one word in that order or something. No, actually what happened is it was like the Privy Council was called without Elizabeth knowing about it. And they decided to, well, we've got the death warrant. Let's carry it out. And they did.
Got it.
Yeah, Elizabeth was upset about that, or at least she pretended to be. There's some people think that perhaps she wasn't upset about it at all.
That she actually was the reason that it happened.
Yeah, she just wanted a little plausible deniability.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mary would have been a serious threat to have around.
And Mary was quite popular with a lot of people.
With some people she was, but at the same time, I think Elizabeth did not want, even though she wanted Mary out of the way permanently, she didn't like the idea of killing royalty.
She wasn't. I think she just wasn't really. She wasn't a killer at heart. I mean, though.
Well, she had a number of people put to death.
She did, but
she was not afraid to.
I don't have the sense that she necessarily was in cold blood, you know, thinking, well, this person might vaguely want to kill me, so I'm going to have them throw. You know, doesn't seem.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't Chairman Mao or anything like that. Yeah. Not at all.
No. Yeah. Briefly, this is like one of my favorite little. Periods of time, this whole, you know, nobility in this era.
The Elizabethan
in
era?
England, not the Elizabethan area as a whole. I mean, yes, that is like very interesting to me from a costume designer's perspective because it's interesting clothes, but just like the whole little bubble of nobility in this time is like very fascinating to me. So I'm sorry because I know I'm the person who keeps taking us off track.
Yeah, that's cool.
We're not even close to getting into the mystery, but
we're on the
maybe Joe will be able to do that now that I've apologized for being the person. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Some of that royal scheming and all that stuff is kind of fascinating.
It's just so interesting.
I don't know. I have a hard time keeping because there's always a bajillion players in these stories, and it's always confusing to me.
And they always have the same names.
Thank you.
A lot
right?
of that going
and
on.
But the other thing that always cracks me up about this period is everybody romanticizes it and goes on and how wonderful it must have been. And I'm always like, are you kidding me?
They painted their faces with lead paint.
I don't want to live
in the streets.
I don't want to live. Yeah, I don't want to live there. We live in a Gilded Age now.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, when you're in a castle where there's, you know, all kinds of vermin running around, and the only reason you don't see it is because the maids are sweeping up their droppings every morning, which, by the way, spread a bunch of diseases. It's not a time to just be hanging out. Life sucked.
Yeah.
It did.
For nobility.
You know, really, poor people in America today are just so much better off, materially speaking, than royalty was back in those days.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even nobility almost, you know, had it almost worse off again because, you know, it was that whole, we got to paint our faces white, and it was lead paint, and we've got to do all of these things to make ourselves look rich, and they're just poisoning their bodies, and it's horrible. But it's still very fascinating to me.
It
so,
is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Again, I'm sorry, we're super off track again.
We are off
Let's
track.
Let's keep a little going.
Bit. That's okay. Speaking of all the scheming and everything like that, I mean, this is just the British royal family, but imagine what it would be like to be a member of the Saudi royal family.
Because
Ibn Saud, the founder of Saudi Arabia, had 200 children.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Insane, right?
Yeah.
What about Genghis Khan even? I mean, like, there's like a 20% chance that any human being has his DNA.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyone
like, let's talk about that.
Anyone who's
second.
Descended from mainland China, I think, no, it's not 20%, it's 80%.
It's insane.
It's an insane amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. He populated that entire country himself.
Yeah, yeah he was even worse than Henry VIII.
Yeah.
He was. Now that we've just talked about all kinds of naughty business, let's talk about a virgin queen.
Let's talk about her. The mystery is, did she have a kid? Elizabeth was never married, and there's been a lot of speculation about why. And I'm not so surprised, personally, because her mother and her stepmother, Catherine Howard, were both beheaded by Henry VIII.
Yeah. Did not have great stereotypes? No.
Idyllic? No. Idyllic marriages?
Didn't have really good prototypes for marriage.
It was, yeah, I mean, she just... what she saw of marriage wasn't good.
No.
Yeah. Her friend Robert Dudley, who we'll be talking about a little bit, they knew each other since the age of 8, and they were very close all throughout their lives. He said much later that after the execution of Catherine Howard, that is, Elizabeth told him that she would never marry.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why she might be a little cynical about the whole marriage thing.
Yeah.
But plus also marriage meant having kids, which was dangerous back in those days. As I said, Catherine of Aragon had 6 kids, 3 of whom were stillborn and two of whom died right after birth.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that was not uncommon at all back in those days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of suffering to go through for no results.
It really is.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean...
That sounds crass. I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah. No, it doesn't sound... I mean, it's a reality of...
Well, but it sounds harsh, but you're right. It is a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the chances of you dying in childbirth at that time is insane. Not only, you know, to give birth to a stillborn child or a child who dies shortly after that, the fact that you might die in childbirth was extremely high.
Uh-huh.
I also wonder if maybe there was a bit of... she was queen, she was ruling a country, but it, you know, typically nobility was men. So I almost wonder if, you know, she thought, if I marry someone, they will suddenly be in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's very true.
So that could have been part of it as well. And I know.
Yeah, she didn't want to share power.
There's a lot of reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another reason was that she had potential suitors among the royalty of Europe.
Yeah.
One of which was King Philip of Spain. Which was, Spain at that time was a lot more powerful than Britain, and it was thought that Philip might stage a hostile takeover, meaning like an invasion. And eventually the Spanish did. You remember the Spanish Armada?
Oh, yeah. They were always at it. They were all at war with each other constantly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but she kind of wanted to keep it ambiguous with Philip, you know, like, maybe
he was interested in marrying her.
She was keeping him in the friend zone.
Right.
Yeah, she was, yeah. And so she was just sort of keeping him put off because he was thinking, hey, if I marry Elizabeth, England is mine without having to fire a shot.
Yeah.
And so,
I got 99 problems, but England ain't one.
Yeah, you guess so. So Elizabeth was actually able to forestall war by doing this.
Right,
so
by not marrying.
Yeah, but she did it for the good of England.
She was able, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course, eventually Philip did get tired of waiting and war did break out. And there was that whole defeat of the Spanish Armada, which was one of Elizabeth's most spectacular successes. Of course, bad weather played a big part in that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
So a lot of the question about it, a lot of people think, wow, it's so mysterious she didn't marry. And that figures into some other mysteries too, by the way, which we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
But it's possible. It's understandable. Okay.
So our mystery is, did she have a child? So how are we going to approach this? How do you want to organize this, Joe?
Well, I thought what I would do is I would list some of the guys that it's rumored that she had babies with.
Okay. A baby, at least.
Or at least one baby with, yeah. And there are several candidates for that.
Okay.
And then we'll just talk about how plausible it is that something happened.
And then maybe we'll talk about who might be children of Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about possible fathers.
The first one here?
Yeah, okay. And these are just the ones that people believe may be the ones. The first candidate is Thomas Seymour. After the death of Henry VIII, his widow at that time, that was his last wife, Catherine Parr, waited about 6 months and remarried.
She waited.
Yeah. So she married Thomas Seymour.
And that's a different Thomas Seymour than... might be related to
Jane Seymour that gave birth to James VI.
Yeah.
I think that
they're
these
not
two,
related, right?
I thought that they were distantly related, cousins or something like that.
Okay. Again, why I get so confused when we talk
it's
about
hard.
These stories.
Again, they all have the same name.
Yeah,
I wish, you know what we need to do to the studios? We need to just paint that wall with a chalkboard material and then we can draw.
No, it needs to be glass and we'll use dry erase.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. But yeah, it got to the point where this is so convoluted. I stopped trying to figure out who was who. Exactly, what the relationship between all these people was.
Yeah. Well, I know you did a bunch of legwork with it, but it gets out of hand very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
Thomas Seymour. So she remarried, and then Elizabeth came to live with Catherine Parr and Thomas Seymour for a while. I think about 10 months.
And she was 13, 14 at that time?
She was, I think, around that.
A blooming woman?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, apparently Thomas took a big interest in her and had a habit of showing up in Elizabeth's bedrooms, early in the morning and stuff like that, and frolicking with her and tickling her and stuff like that.
For quote-unquote tickling sessions?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. So I don't know how Elizabeth felt about this. She might have been flattered by the attention, or maybe she was annoyed, or maybe a little creeped out. Maybe she was really into it, and this is why he's...
It could potentially be the first man who has shown any attention to her, so that that would be the argument for maybe she actually wasn't put off by it.
Or he was in a position of power in her life, and she didn't feel like she was in a place to deny what he was doing.
She might have felt a little bit dependent on him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she needed.
They had opened their home to her.
And she was an orphan.
She was an orphan, and she was living in a style that she was maybe not necessarily accustomed to. And they were being kind to her, and so she thought, well, they're being nice to me, so I can't say no.
But that's what the situation was. Catherine Parr was apparently undisturbed by this behavior at first, but apparently Cat Ashley was not cool with it at all.
Catherine had participated a time or two.
She had participated a few times in these tickling sessions.
I can only imagine that Catherine didn't so much like Elizabeth, if only because she was an earlier child of her past husband's, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I don't know. Maybe she didn't. But she liked her enough to take her in, so that was nice of her. But apparently she decided that it would be best for Elizabeth to go live elsewhere. So apparently she decided, for some reason or another, she wasn't cool with Elizabeth and her husband being under the same roof. So I don't know that anything ever actually happened.
But we also don't know that nothing happened.
We also don't know that either. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth left the household in May 1548 at age 14. So there was that 10-month period in which something could have happened.
Yeah. And what's the timeline after that? Is there kind of some unaccounted for time in Elizabeth's timeline after that?
No, there was never any period where she was like out of sight or anything like that, where she could have just been like, invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But this obviously in this period of her life, she was a lot
minor
less,
player.
Yeah, she was a lot less in the public eye. Mm-hmm. And so it's conceivable she could have gone off somewhere and had a baby somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Especially at 13 or 14, it's not as though...
It's not unusual in those days.
Yeah.
Not even unusual these days, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the offspring of this liaison was, according to these theories, none other than William Shakespeare. I'm not sure if it's the same William Shakespeare, because Seymour died in 1549, and Shakespeare, as far as I know, was born in 1564.
But you don't know who Shakespeare was.
It's hard to say. And actually, I'm not sure exactly what year he was born because nobody actually has his actual date of birth.
Nobody actually knows who Shakespeare was.
Yeah, he was born in April. He was not born. He was baptized in 1564.
As William Shakespeare?
I believe so, yeah. And,
well, in those days, even 100 years ago, that whole baptism thing, the whole birth record thing was kind of just whenever you felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have family just a generation ago that they say, oh yeah, this is my birth date because that's when mom wrote it in the Bible. My grandfather, in fact, found out when he enlisted in the army that he was a year older than he thought he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. So, it happens pretty recently. So in those days, it could have totally happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, but here's my thing with this Thomas Dudley bit.
Oh, I guess I should...
Thomas Seymour bit.
Yeah, and I want to add, I also agree, it's not good.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so the thing is, we haven't said... By the way, he was 40 years old at this time.
Yeah, he was a bit older than her.
39 or 40, depending on exactly when everything went down. But my problem with the whole she was pregnant with his child is today it's possible for girls to get pregnant as early as 12 or 13. But there's the stuff about the sexual maturity is coming earlier based on diet. Have you ever read any of this stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you were looking at me like I was crazy
for
a second.
The reason I'm looking at you like you're crazy is because it's not unreasonable to think that in that time, a girl who was 13 or 14 years old would be pregnant.
See, but I don't, the way I interpreted things, I took it as actually the norm for reproductive age was more in line with 16 or 17.
But that's not to say that it's not possible at... What we're talking...
Rabbit test is possible as well, if we're going to say whatever's in the realm of possible.
When
what's
we're talking
normal?
About modern days, like puberty coming very early for girls, we're talking like 9 and 10, not like 13 and 14. That's a normal time for people to be hitting puberty.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. So even in those days, 13 and 14, totally normal for somebody to be getting pregnant. We're talking like these days.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what I read, but the stuff
you're
I read...
You're probably reading on average.
Well, oh yeah, and that's the thing is that I'm looking at the average. I'm not calling her an exception to the norm.
Sure.
I'm saying on average, that's a pretty tall order.
14 to 16.
Yeah.
Give them 2 years. But no, I totally hear what you're saying.
But yeah, but she was 14 when she left, so I think she was old enough. I really do.
I shake my head at this because I don't...
Romeo and Juliet's the one I always go to. But written by William Shakespeare, maybe it was inspired by his mother who got pregnant at 16 or 13. Who knows?
That's a possibility. Lord. Yeah. That's a whole other mystery, which I don't know if we'll ever tackle or not. Was
Shakespeare?
Who was Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, but it does seem like Shakespeare is involved in this quite a bit.
Yeah.
In this whole
weird
Elizabeth thing. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I was going to say is that Seymour, like all of this stuff with him mucking about with Elizabeth.
Yeah, it feels wrong, right?
Well, it feels wrong.
Tacky,
and he exhibited some really questionable behavior, but he got his head cut off the next year.
He eventually did, yeah.
Because he was in some plot and he was sneaking into the king's residence and he set off one of the dogs. And rather than, like a normal person, just running away... He shot the dog and made a big to-do and then got out. Like, the guy had really bad judgment all the way around.
Yeah.
So, I question whether he was just had several screws loose and that's why he was messing with her, or if it was really some weirdo power play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing just smells really off to me.
It was a little off.
And it feels really convenient.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of these feel like, okay, maybe that's a legit theory, but a lot of them feel kind of like, well, that's very convenient that would have happened at that time.
Yeah, so well, let's rule him out. Although I got to say that this is the period that I consider the most likely because it was before she ascended to the throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she would have been out of the public eye and it would have been easy for her to just kind of, in 9 months.
It would have been easier. I mean, I still think it would have been pretty much impossible to keep it secret.
Well, there is a way. Yeah. That it could have been kept secret.
Oh, you kill everybody who knows about it.
No.
What's that?
No, she never brought the child to term. Though it was illegal and highly frowned upon, abortions did happen.
That's true.
So it is possible that she aborted the child, and it's also possible, based on practices of it at the time, that that could have rendered her sterile, which is why she then never had a kid again.
And maybe why she chose not to have sex again.
This was not awesome. Don't really like that. Yeah. Thanks, no, not doing that again.
Yeah, it might be that if she was truly molested by Thomas Seymour, then maybe that kind of turned her off in the whole sex thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a very plausible answer. Though, again, I consider Seymour, you know, not a good, valid candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of possible reasons afterwards.
One reason I don't really buy into him as a father is that after she left Catherine Parr's household, they still maintained a very friendly correspondence, which I think would be kind of, wouldn't you think it would be unlikely if Catherine, if her husband had impregnated Elizabeth, do you think she would not be feeling all that friendly towards her?
I would say that would kind of chill the relationship.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they apparently had a good relationship. So probably not Thomas. Next on our list, Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester. And for those of you who are not British, this is spelled Leicester. But it's pronounced Leicester.
We gotta start a campaign to either start adding vowels and consonants to town names in general, just to repeat this pattern, or lobby all of England to change the spelling.
Well,
of their
towns
to the way they're
spelled. Well, since I'm
obviously
gonna marry Prince Harry when I'm queen, I'll lobby for that.
Oh, is he not married yet?
No, because he's waiting for me.
We were talking about Robert Dudley.
one of my favorite English town names is Dull.
Yeah.
And it's actually spelled the way it's pronounced, Dull. And they're the ones that had the sister city relationship with the town of Boring, Oregon.
Yeah. Like, of course they do, right?
I love it. And these two towns really do exist.
They do.
I will do an episode about that.
Okay, but Robert Dudley.
But Robert Dudley and Elizabeth had known each other since they were 8 years old. And as I said, they were the best of friends. And a lot of people suspected at the time that they were lovers because they were so close. And Elizabeth showered.
Well, they were childhood friends.
Oh, yeah. And so especially when you're royalty and people are always trying to stab you in the back, there's probably not that many people that you can really trust. So that's got to have something
to
do
with it.
You
would think a friend since you were 8. You probably could trust.
Yeah, somebody who's never you know, done you wrong and everything like that. Yeah, and I think he was trustworthy. And she showered lots and lots of favors on him. And
that, of course, made everybody think that they were lovers.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And there was lots of other, I won't get into every little detail, but there was lots of reasons. But, yeah, he benefited quite a bit by his relationship with Elizabeth, financially and otherwise. And, of course, Elizabeth was intensely grief-stricken when he died, the kind of grief that you would show, display, when you've lost somebody really close to you, maybe a lover.
Yeah, but maybe a friend. I mean,
that could be that, too.
You know, if you have a true, intense friend since you're 8, that person is your family.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah. Definitely, and especially when the actual members of your family are either, like, you know, dead or they're off, like, marrying a new stepmother.
Courting your cousin.
Yeah.
He was probably more family, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was talk that they might potentially get married, but there was one hitch because Dudley was married himself. Well, he married a woman named Amy Robsart. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. In 1550. And then she fell down some stairs at her home in 1560 and broke her neck. Which did clear the way for Elizabeth and Robert Dudley to marry, which is handy.
Yeah, but people considered it to be an assassination.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation that that Robert Dudley had her murdered just so he could marry Elizabeth. And so he was very unpopular in England for a time, actually for quite a long time because of that. Although, personally, I don't think he did it. That's yet another mystery, and you'll read the occasional article in Britain about it, you know, the unsolved mystery of her death and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is she had like advanced cancer at the time she died. So there was no reason for him to murder her at all.
Yeah, it was a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay, we'll put that mystery down. But even without being married to Robert Dudley, it doesn't mean they couldn't have, you know, done the deed and had kids, or at least a kid. Some of the proposed offspring were Francis Bacon.
France is bacon.
France is bacon. Yes, I know. France is bacon. How do you like that, French? Yeah. Yeah, look at you. Yeah. Actually, you could be worse things.
Yeah, absolutely. Bacon's pretty well liked.
Bacon's pretty awesome. Yeah. But anyway, Francis Bacon, of course, many people believe, was maybe really William Shakespeare. Yeah. Here he rears his ugly head again in here. So at this time, Elizabeth would have been 28. She would have been on the throne for 3 years. So I don't know.
Again, we're coming. I know where Joe is going with this, which is the hard part of hiding it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hiding a pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a second, though. Let me just toss a few more out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Devereux, the second Earl of Essex. When Devereux came onto the scene, he and Elizabeth became besties, and they were really close. And some have even said, some people have speculated that they were actually lovers, like, even though he was quite a bit younger than her.
Significantly
younger, yeah. But other people have said that they had more like a kind of a mother-son relationship, and they were really close. So if it had been Devereux, then she would have been 32 years old when he was born. Some of the reasons I think people suspect him of this is he was kind of a bad actor sometimes. I mean, they had a good relationship. But he was kind of a loose cannon, and
didn't he get himself killed?
Well, by Elizabeth, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she executed him finally. Yeah, in the
end. Yeah, because he kept doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so eventually she felt she had no choice. And I suppose it's possible that a mother would have her son executed.
Yeah.
But seems unlikely, though.
It seems kind of unlikely.
Well, but he did some real... I mean,
he did.
She kept giving him military commissions, and he kept no-showing them, which is a huge no-no. Like, just show up and stay in the tent, for God's sake.
Yeah, or just, you know, and in the end, he got involved in a plot against her, you know, again, which... You know, against your own mother? Huh? Don't do that. Maybe, of course, maybe he didn't know that he was actually her son. But I still find it hard to believe that she would do that rather than just, like, have him locked up permanently in the tower
or
something like that.
Hit him across the face a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a good spanking.
Yeah. Let's talk about another candidate who is Arthur Dudley. Dudley showed up in the court of Philip of Spain in 1587 and claimed to be the son of Robert Dudley and Elizabeth. He said that he was raised unaware of this by a guy named Robert Southern, who told him on his deathbed who he really was. And Dudley fled the country, he said, because he was afraid that Elizabeth's agents would murder him to keep the secret that he now knew.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, I know.
If they were going to kill you, they'd have killed you a long time ago.
Well, yeah.
They have no idea when you were told the truth.
Well, the only guy who knew was the guy who told him, who died immediately afterwards,
right.
You know, Robert Southern. So if he just kept his mouth shut, he was perfectly safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how much of that makes sense. Arthur Dudley did actually exist. There's strong evidence, at least, that he did. There's mention of him, even in the records in Elizabeth's court, that they were aware that he'd showed up at Philip's court in Spain.
Mm-hmm. The thing that, though he showed up in the court, it's really suspected that he wasn't really who he said he was. And by that, I mean, he may not have actually been Arthur Dudley.
Yeah.
Because there were spies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's some research that indicates that he was a spy who really stuck to his story.
That's,
and would not let it go.
That is what a lot of people believed at the time. Yeah. And so I don't know too many people that take this guy seriously. I mean, he was around. He did make these claims, but he was probably just an imposter, you think?
And when do we know, how old was he? When would he have been born?
He would have been born, well, depending, I've heard various estimates, but based on his age, it was estimated that he was about 25, I think, and that he would have been born maybe in 1561.
Okay.
And so in summer 1561, there was one significant thing, which was that Elizabeth was ill. She got she had this spell where she came down with edema, which is swelling of the tissues. And
it was called drops, at the time, right?
Exactly. And maybe she could have been pregnant, you know, she was bedridden and all that. And so this is also around
the
time.
How old would she have been?
She would have been 28.
Okay. I mean, okay.
You know? Okay.
I mean, but, yeah. As someone who is currently 28 years old, at that time, that seems like it would be late to be pregnant.
In that day and age?
Yeah. In that day and age, that seems like a late pregnancy.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, people are getting pregnant at 15, 16, 17, maybe as early as 13, 14.
Maybe.
You know, to carry a baby to term and have it be healthy and survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unheard of. Certainly, it's not unheard of, but it seems it's
yeah,
late.
I mean,
it's
the
late.
Older you get, the harder it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I understand
Yeah, and
that,
with modern medicine, it's like, fine, but at those times when we were like, oh, hey, yeah, leeches. That'll solve your problem. No problem.
Or what was it they were given? They would give mothers during or after childbirth ergot. Did you guys know that? Yeah. I just heard this recently.
Yeah.
And it thickened the blood.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no, you're going to be good. It's some mold. It's fine. Yeah. Just eat it.
Just chew on this.
I know your body thinks that that's poison. Yeah, but no. Just eat it anyway.
Yeah, no, that's why a lot of that stuff was like alcohol, for example, makes you feel better, makes you feel good.
Yeah,
it's really kind of poison.
Uh-huh.
And things like bloodletting and stuff. Like, what would happen? The blood pressure drop would make you high, it would make you lightheaded and feel
better. That's fine.
And then they concluded, hey, you know, this must be beneficial because they report feeling better.
Okay. But yeah, 28.
28 is possible.
It's possible. It's totally possible. And the fact that she was sick with dropsy, which, you know, bedridden for a couple months.
Bedridden, kind of swollen.
Mm-hmm. I hear it.
Yeah. Maybe she was pregnant. I don't know. Let's go on for our next
suspect. I'm sorry, just quickly. Wasn't that about the same time that Francis Bacon was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Born too?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
So was either Francis Bacon, a.k.a. Shakespeare, or was Arthur Dudley, or neither one?
Or neither.
Yeah.
Or she actually just had edema.
Yeah, probably. That's what it was. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I know edema causes swelling, but that'd be a lot of swelling, you know, I mean, to be actual pregnancy-sized.
Every woman carries a pregnancy different, and you know, I've seen pictures of people who I like didn't believe are pregnant who are like 9 months pregnant, and I've also seen pictures of people who are 9 months pregnant that I think like you're just obese. You know? It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. Everybody carries a pregnancy differently, and if you've got all these corsets and you're kind of bedridden, and people are thinking, oh, you're sick, it's possible. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not willing to discount it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on to our next suspect, who was Edward de Vere, 17th Earl of Oxford, who, of course, was also rumored to be William Shakespeare.
I know. Of course, yeah.
I know. I don't know. I mean, there's a whole huge community out there of people who are arguing back and forth on this guy was Shakespeare or this guy was Shakespeare. They have all kinds of theories and evidence and everything.
And again, that may be an episode in their future.
Who you never know. I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to get some serious scholarly work done if we're going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are hardcore. I mean, these guys aren't just guys on Reddit or anything like that. They're writing books about
this.
Yeah.
And not Redditors that I'm slamming, write books.
Not that I'm slamming Reddit, but yeah. This is a little more scholarly. But anyway, back to our thing. The offspring of Oxford and Elizabeth would have been a guy named Henry Wriothesley, who was born in 1573. And I don't know whatever went on to happen to Henry, but there's not much out there on him. But at this time, Elizabeth would have had to have been about 40, which causes me a little bit of doubt. That 40, seriously, at that age.
I mean, now 40.
Even now it's tough to get pregnant at 40.
Yeah.
So the problem I have with all these theories is that this all took place after she ascended to the throne. Except for the first one with Thomas. So it's like imagining it would have been a little easier than, say, Princess Diana going about her everyday business, pregnant, and not having the paparazzi not notice it.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of people around. There would have had to have been people attending to her at childbirth and stuff like that. So somebody you would think would have talked.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
After. Yeah, at least after the fact.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. You would imagine
you,
so.
You can understand maybe while she was alive, you know, you're keeping somebody rich. There's no reason to talk, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's good reasons not to make the queen mad by running your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, a lot of people would have written it down in their memoirs or their diaries, their journals... That would have been mention of it. I wanted to talk about one more suspect for a father, which was a guy named Miles Stafford. And he has very recently been put forward by a guy named Seth Margolis, who published a novel called The Semper Sonnet. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to reveal this, but Elizabeth does have a child very early in the book. And again, which I want to clarify is a work of fiction.
But Seth did a ton of research.
He did a lot of research for this book. Let me give you a quick rundown of the plot. Our protagonist is a woman named Lee Nichols. She's discovered a previously unknown sonnet by William Shakespeare. When she goes public with it, all hell breaks loose. And she finds out that some people really, really want that sonnet for a reason she'll discover if you read the book. So anyway, it's a fun read. Seth, we actually were able to get a hold of him. He was kind enough to actually answer some questions about Elizabeth and his research and his book. And so let's talk to Seth here for a sec. So, Seth, thanks for talking to us. We really appreciate it. And I guess my first question for you is that you have found a new potential father for a child that Elizabeth might have had named Miles Stafford. So did Miles really exist?
No, so I'm sorry to say.
It's okay.
It was much. I found it much more interesting to invent him and then dispatch him quickly. You never really hear from him, other than that he had this rare genetic disorder that passed on this tendency to shivering, as someone calls it in the book, which I thought was an interesting sort of way to keep his sort of lineage alive. Was, you know, not in a particularly positive way. It also made it, you know, when you're writing a thriller, it made it interesting because, you know, when the Lee Nicholson, the 21st century heroine of the book, would come across various locations where the Filer family lived, she would see, for instance, two fireplaces in one room and realize, you know, that became an indication that these people who live there had a real obsession with staying warm. So that's the one thing that I had my fictional father of the Elizabethan offspring pass on to his descendants. And of course, the name Filer, you know, as you know, because you read the book, it's full of wordplay. And the, you know, the word Filer is an adaptation of the French word fils for son and ER, of course, for Elizabeth Rex. And French was the main language spoken at the time, or a version of it, in the Elizabethan court. So it was like, you know, it was interesting or likely that she would have had, if she had a child, might have given him that name just as a sort of sly reference to who his at least his mother was.
So in real life, one candidate for a child was Elizabeth that's really popular with a lot of people is Robert Devereux. What do you think about him as a suspect?
And right. He was one of several people that she sort of showered her royal pleasures on in ways that mystified people at the time, you know, why him? Yeah. And so there were always rumors. And she did have a very close relationship with his father, Robert Dudley, also known as Lester. And, you know, I think she had his bedroom moved next to hers. And, you know, there were all sorts of, so, you know, if there was going to be an offspring, it would have been most likely with him. And there was actually, there was someone named Arthur Dudley who surfaced at one point who claimed to be the offspring of the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, showed up at Philip of Spain's place.
Yeah, because the Catholics never saw her as a legitimate, well, as legitimate period, but as a legitimate monarch of England. So if they could find any sort of scandal that would, you know, add further illegitimacy to her, it would work to their ends. And in fact, in my book, that's one of the reasons that she disguises the fact that she had a child, was that it would imperil her her claim to the throne. And of course, in the Sempersonata, she has the child before she becomes queen. Most of the rumors about, or the theories about her having a child, have her having the child while she was queen. And as I said, there's so many of them. You know, she, at one point, she took to her bed. She had some sort of mysterious illness, which I think they called at the time dropsy, but today we would call it edema, which is the swelling in the midsection. So, of course, if you, and I think that's pretty much historical fact, that she had, that she was taken to her bed with dropsy or edema, and that she had a swollen abdomen. So if you're inclined to think that she had a child, this might have been a good time for that child to have been carried, because she had, you know, she could have used that as an excuse to disguise her pregnancy.
My last question, you've done a lot more research on this really than we have. And so I guess I'd like to know, do you really think Elizabeth had a child?
You know, I don't know. I would suspect not. I tend to be a discounter of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a really intriguing idea for a novel. And there are bits and pieces of her life and the circumstances around it that might lead you to think she had a child. But I tend to think she didn't. But, you know, I think it's sort of like, you know, if you think about the Kennedy assassination, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in general, so I think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. But a lot of people just feel that it's just unthinkable that this great man who was so beloved at the time and maybe even more so in retrospect could be brought down by one lunatic with good aim. You want it to be a conspiracy because it seems unfitting that such a great person could be eliminated by such a nobody. With Elizabeth, there's a similar frustration that, you know, arguably the greatest, certainly the greatest monarch in English history and maybe one of the great leaders in world history, just ended. You know, her line ended with her death, and the Tudors were no more. Her genes were no more. How could that be? It doesn't seem fitting somehow. So people constantly want her to have left something behind. And in a way, I think that's part of the fascination with her in general, and it's certainly the reason that a lot of these theories continue to flourish, and it's really the reason I wrote the book.
All right, Seth, I tend to think you're probably right. I think that it's unlikely, like you say, people just can't accept it, and people love to speculate about royalty. That's just a major sport here in America and Europe.
We don't have royalty here.
Yeah, well, we do. It's British royalty. A lot of people seem to worship those people. Anyway, thanks again to Seth for talking to us. His book, if you care to pick it up and read it, is called The Semper Sonnet.
It's out now. It's a fun little book.
Oh, yeah, it's a fun read. Now, back to our mystery for a second here. There's one other permutation of this, which is that she didn't have a child because she couldn't have a child because she was actually a guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to let you run with this one because I want to have a heyday with it. I just want to let you tell the story because this one is so outlandish to me.
It is. But
it's crazy. It's funny to me because it's so crazy.
This story actually has a pretty good pedigree, though.
It does.
You know, it's sometimes called the Bisley Boy, and it begins with Bram Stoker, who you may have heard of. If you haven't heard of him, he's the guy who wrote Dracula.
Which is a toothy book.
Yeah, it is. Actually, a pretty influential book when you think about it.
It's got some bite.
Stoker claimed the story is actually not something he made up, but it actually originated in the village of Bisley in Gloucestershire, which is where he heard the original story from the locals. And he wrote about it in a book called Famous Impostors, which he published in 1910. So according to Stoker's story, Elizabeth was sent to Bisley in 1543 or 1544, dates are a little vague, due to a plague outbreak in London. And I checked, and there was some plague at loose in London at that time, although it was not the Great Plague, which was the one that really slaughtered a lot of people. But ironically, in Bisley, she got sick and died anyway. And her governess, Cat Ashley, you remember her, learned that Henry VIII was on his way for a visit. So what to do? This is actually kind of like a sitcom, you know, where you're taking care of your friend's cat, and the cat gets killed. Yeah. You gotta go find a duplicate.
Wasn't there? Like, didn't Kramer pull that once or something on Seinfeld? Yeah,
it's a well recycled plot line. Yeah, it is. So Cat combed the village looking for a little girl who looks similar to Elizabeth and couldn't find anybody. And by the way, you know, isn't that weird? And some people are coming around looking at your kid saying, can we borrow your kid for like a couple of decades?
For the royalty.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been tricky.
Yeah.
But then she had an idea. There was this little boy who lived nearby, and Elizabeth had actually been playing with him somewhat. And he was thin and pale and about the same size and had reddish hair like Liz. And so she had this idea that, well, we'll swap the little boy in. We'll dress him in girl's clothes, and Henry will be totally fooled. And so
Henry's an idiot.
Yeah, and of course he was fooled
because he's an idiot.
Yeah, right. And the other question:
he didn't notice the hair dye.
Yeah, what I'm curious about is that Bram Stoker, I'll take his word for it, that he honestly was told this story. But how had they kept this for centuries? I mean, he said that they were so isolated that the story just never got out. That's what he actually wrote. I read that. I read part of his Famous Impostors book.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but okay. I'm gonna go ahead.
Yeah, well, anyway, here are Bram Stoker's reasons why it probably is true. Number one, Elizabeth was very secretive. She seemed to have a big secret, some people said. Number two, she was very close to her inner circle, just several people. She treated them all very favorably and kept them all close. And that was probably her way of...
Are we debunking this now? Or are we just...
Not yet.
Okay,
not yet. Hold on.
She refused to marry. There were rumors that she couldn't bear children. There was apparently, he says, I had no way of checking this. There was that correspondence between Elizabeth and Catherine Parr. Apparently, the style of those letters changed after after this swap. Mm-hmm. And one of her teachers felt that she was way too smart and clear thinking to be a woman.
Insert Devin scoffing here.
I'm laughing at the absurdity of that.
I'm actually offended by that. This is like thousands of years later, and I am offended.
Well, take it up with Bram. Yes.
It's keep going, thousands,
keep
okay?
Keep going, ignore, just keep going.
I am obviously not a man, so I am not as smart and clear thinking as Queen Elizabeth.
Devin,
was.
Can I point something out?
It's hundreds.
Steve and I always solve our mysteries.
You do,
you
and
never
I don't.
Do.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Actually, Joe, can I point something out?
Yeah.
Only you ever solve the mystery.
Wait. Can I point something out? Mm. Joe's a liar. He never solves the mysteries.
All right, fine. Let's get back
to
this.
What else do we have here?
Oh, let's see. She had a large wig collection, which obviously she was probably using to cover up male pattern
baldness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I have them.
Yeah, she had only a few regular doctors, and she refused to ever see any other doctors because they're going to find out that, guess what, she's got something going on down there. And she also insisted that no autopsy be done after her death.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, all those good reasons.
Great.
Yeah. But on the other hand, it's still hard to believe Henry VIII was such an idiot that he wouldn't notice that there was a little boy.
While the royalty didn't spend all day every day with their child, they would know what their child looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a difficult one.
Yeah, and frankly, you know, it's a really big gamble because you've got to hope you've not only found yourself a little boy who sort of resembles Elizabeth, but who actually has some acting skills.
Yeah.
And knows something about Elizabeth's life. And so that was a big chance that Kat was taking there. The other reason, the wigs, Elizabeth, there were people that actually saw her without her wigs on.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't bald. She had a full head of hair. It was
no,
gray.
She didn't. She didn't have a full head of hair.
Yeah.
She had smallpox scars because she got smallpox at one point.
Oh, that's right. She did have smallpox.
Yeah,
for
and
her,
she had pretty severe scarring from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons that I've seen listed that she had more wigs after that was to cover the bald spots that were caused by the scars.
Yeah, but it wasn't male pattern.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. No, it wasn't my hairline.
Mm.
Oh.
Which is a very shallow hairline, by the way. Close to my ears.
Way back there.
I would also suspect that like a symptom of lead poisoning.
There's always that. You know, a lot of dishware in those days was made of lead. They found out that lead was so malleable, you could hammer it into all kinds of nice shapes.
I keep bringing that up because the white face paint that they used was literally lead-based.
Oh, yeah.
So the white face paint that Elizabeth would have been slathering all over her face and putting on her lips every day... was lead.
Uh-huh.
It was like so much lead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know.
But I guess also like lead leads to infertility.
Does.
Lead poisoning does lead into fertility, so that's a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to a lot of
stuff.
Organ issues.
Yeah, but I mean, those are...
Yeah.
I keep bringing that up because she smeared it all over her face all the time.
Oh, yeah. But again, there was a lot of lead in everything.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, well, they were ingesting it all the time too.
Yeah.
But I mean, no. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not good for you, but...
No, it does very bad things.
No, yeah. Oh, back to our she was a guy thing. Apparently, Elizabeth did have periods because Philip of Spain was, as you know, interested in knowing whether she could bear children because he still thought there was a chance that he was going to get to marry her. Of course, he wanted an heir. But his spies bribed the queen's launderers for details of whether she was menstruating.
Oh, because, yeah, did she ever cycle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the answer came back, well, yeah, she is menstruating.
Obligatory, yeah. Just because you get your period doesn't mean that you're fertile statement.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's
noted.
True. Yeah. What's the other thing? She often wore dresses with low necklines.
Have you met a drag queen ever, though?
I was going to ask, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how...
What, are you saying that she couldn't have been because she would have had a hairy chest if she was a dude?
None of her portraits seem to have her be particularly busty.
Uh-huh. That's true. She could have been a guy with a push-up bra kind of thing.
I mean, she wore those really tight corsets, so... Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I was thinking of... Okay, so... holy hell, I'm gonna actually defend this for a second.
Yeah.
Is that to have the voice of a woman and to have some of the lighter build...
Mm-hmm.
There's an easy way to have a boy do that.
Castration.
Castration.
Yeah, I know.
Which is to make him a eunuch. And then the testosterone doesn't kick in and all that pesky hair doesn't show up.
That's a good point.
And actually, frankly, I'm looking at pictures, you know, portraits of Elizabeth now, and they're all like very flat chested.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had the neck ruffle that she loved to wear that would also cover up the, you know, difference between her neck. But they are very flat chested. That was what was in style at that point, I know.
Yeah, corsets were rather tight.
Well, they were tight, but they also, that was in style, was to have no boobs at that time. So,
no cleavage, no nothing.
You know, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I can't imagine that ever being in style, but okay.
What else did you got on here?
Not much else. I mean, you know, if it's hard to believe they could have castrated the kid, because if somebody said, hey, you know, just to make this whole Liz charade work out, we're going to have to castrate you, I think I would be like slipping out the back door and heading on home.
Do you think even if somebody was like, but literally you will be the richest person in this country and you will rule it?
That's true. But still.
I watched Amadeus and that kid was kind of down with it.
Yeah.
I can see this being okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, we'll go with that then. Yeah. Okay. So Liz got castrated, and then
I'm sorry. Thank you. That caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. Actually, over at Elizabeth, I don't know if you guys looked at the Elizabeth files.
Oh, Lord! How could I not?
Yeah.
It is a huge trove of information.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Actually, we'll post a link to the Elizabeth files if you're really interested in learning more about Elizabeth. It's pretty cool. It's well written, well organized.
It is well organized. It is one of those sites. I've said this about sites before, is I feel like there is so much information on them that it's overwhelming. I read two or three or four articles. I don't remember how many I read on there. And then they would keep coming up in searches. And I just stopped going there because there was so much detail. It's quite well done.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's just well researched. It's definitely authoritative. But I got this little tidbit from the Elizabeth files, which was that at some point during marriage negotiations with the various monarchs around Europe, a panel of doctors examined Elizabeth.
What?
Yeah, to see if she could still bear children. I mean, this is a real big deal back in those days.
Oh, boy.
And,
okay.
Yeah, they came to the conclusion that she could. Well, I'm not sure how they could have examined her that closely to determine she could have children without noticing that she had a little something extra down there, you know, you think?
Yeah, you would notice if Elizabeth was actually a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be fair.
Yeah, I think you would.
Although, again, in fairness, just examining somebody doesn't mean that you're going to be able to tell if they can have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how you tell that either.
I don't know.
Okay, well, to answer our questions, did she send the Roanoke colonists off to their deaths deliberately?
Yes.
For Roanoke?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, she did.
Yeah.
She actually, when they opened up their food supplies, they found there was nothing but lead makeup in there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, lead makeup and neck ruffles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a little note.
Keep warm with this.
Sucks to be you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the next question, did she have a child? I'm kind of doubting it. Maybe, but I really kind of doubt it. I think we would have heard something.
I don't know, because I have a hard time with, unless it was, even if it was somebody like Seymour or somebody after the fact, that there were ways for contraception and there were practices post-copulation, you know, for making sure that a pregnancy didn't come to full term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These things happen. And those things, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I saw stuff in the reading that can have a permanent effect on a woman's ability to be able to bear children. Mm-hmm. So I could see how that's why I lean. I mean, I don't think that she was actually the virgin queen.
Oh, God, no.
I don't think that she abstained for her entire life.
No.
So that's why I lean to that direction.
Yeah, no, I think if she was pregnant, it had to have happened before she ascended to the throne. If she ever had a child, it would have happened before she was the queen.
Yeah.
You know, but I do agree. It seems unlikely, but it's possible. But I also totally disagree with the whole idea that obviously William Shakespeare has to be the child of Elizabeth.
Like, that's just fun times.
Yeah. That's silly to me.
Yeah,
but I don't think she probably had a child. But if she did, it was very early in her life. And that person would have been raised totally separate from her.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, unlikely, probably not of her own consent, right? I mean, that baby would have been taken away from her early
absolutely.
In her life.
Yeah, it would have been like, you know, you're not even going to know who your kid is, probably.
Yeah. That would be my
guess. Would be a disincentive to ever do it again. again.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Was she a guy?
I vote no.
Okay. All right, fine. Well, I guess that's it for this week. If you have any thoughts about this, if you're descended from Elizabeth, of course, we would love to hear from you. So,
especially if your name is Prince Harry.
Yeah. So write us at Thinking Sideways Podcast.
He's not going to email you, Devin.
That's easy. So write us at thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. There's also our website, of course, thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You can listen to the episodes. You can check the links that we put up for further information. And we will put up a link to the Elizabeth Files.
Yep.
And there's a ton of stuff out there. You'll enjoy it. We're on iTunes. So subscribe, leave us a review and a rating. And we love those really good ratings, especially. As for streaming, you can stream us all over the place. So, you know, no, we don't have any recommendations there, really. We're on Facebook, Thinking Sideways Podcast, right?
Yep.
On Facebook, of course, we have our page and also the group. You can join the group.
Yep.
And you can, like, you know, there's all kinds of good...
Be a groupie.
Yeah, you can be a groupie. There's lots of good commentary and just conversation out there. We're on Twitter. We're Thinking Sideways. And, of course, we have a subreddit, which has got some stuff going on every now and again, at least. Yeah. And last of all, we're on Patreon. So if you want to support the show, totally optional. But if you want to, you can go out and you can pledge a certain amount of money per episode. So be aware of that. If you decide you want to get real generous and give us $50, just remember that's $50 every episode. So, you know,
which is
careful.
Why we have things like the PayPal button. If you want to do a one-time,
do PayPal.
And that's more conducive to your budget, then that's why that's there.
Yeah, you can do that.
We got the merch too.
Oh, yeah,
we
got buy merch. A sticker.
We got merch. We got like T-shirts and mugs and
new
stickers
shirts. Yep.
All
kinds
of
somebody
stuff.
Bought the Mary Celeste the other day. That's pretty awesome.
I saw that. Yeah, that's really cool. I have not actually yet seen the Mary Celeste T-shirt. I got to go out and look at it.
What is your deal?
I know.
It's lots of things.
No, I'm probably going to have to get one for myself.
I thought about buying you one.
Yeah.
And then I decided I didn't want to.
I'm going to get a bumper sticker for my car.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I buy bumper stickers by the gross and put them on all kinds of people's cars.
Yeah.
I'm not endorsing that.
No, probably
legally,
not.
Legally, no.
Nah.
Emotionally, yes.
Yeah, I like it. So that's patreon.com/thinkingsideways.
Or the website for merch.
Or the website, yeah. For merch, yeah. All right, well, that's it for Elizabeth. Another great historic mystery solved. You British people, please don't be offended by all this. Yeah, I don't think she had a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys?
I know.
I'm not posh enough.
Yeah, me neither. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.